You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Imagine, if you will, your dream restaurant. Come on in. Table for however many you please. Is it a special occasion? Can I get you something to drink? This is Tessa's music she wants to play in this one. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome onto the breakfast show, Leisha Jones. Hi, Leisha, how are you?
Good morning, very good, thank you.
Leisha, tell us all about you. You write for Stone Soup, which we've discussed on the BFM Breakfast before.
Yeah, so I've been working in food and hospitality since I was about 15 years old, mostly on the floor and then
15
cooking.
15 years old?
You've done that, you've done the hard slog, the hard yards.
Yep. Yeah, and then I've cooked a lot as well, private catering and stuff like that, and now I'm also a journalist, and I use the term loosely because I just only write about food. Now I combine the two, writing about food and talking about food.
Food is very important.
And you're going to be our new go-to food e.
Yes.
Foodie.
Yeah.
Well, welcome. And do you sell food now from anywhere? Do you cook your own food and sell it, or just appraise everyone else's?
I appraise everybody else's. Yeah. but my catering's sort of fallen off a little bit. I don't do that so much anymore. But I still like to, you know, get into the on the floor from time to time when I can because I love it.
And at home.
Yeah, and at home I cook.
When you say on the floor, do you mean like waitressing or maitre d' or
or helping out with catering jobs, or you know, putting on events and stuff like that. And sometimes help out at the floor at Everybody Eats up on Cairo.
Yeah. Which, for people who don't know,
That is a pay-as-you-fill dining concept. So people,
I think that's amazing.
And they use rescued food and they serve it up to people, and
which is awesome.
You can pay what you feel like, or you can not pay at all.
And they actually make money, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Isn't that great? Because you would think everything in the world would tell you that wouldn't make money, but it does. That's really cool. I think it's great. Hey, and so do you prefer to cook or be cooked for?
Cook, definitely. I'm a control freak in the kitchen, so if I'm watching somebody cook.
So you do. Well, when it comes to concocting food, like coming up with a recipe, do you prefer that, or do you prefer the actual physical getting up to your elbows and it sort of cooking?
I'm a real sort of freestyle cook, so I have got a lot of cookbooks, but I don't tend to follow the recipes. I just kind of like to get up in there and just see.
Do you like to sit
just
down on the couch with
like
a cookbook, open it up, have a browse through?
Yeah, for inspiration, but then I don't really follow the recipe.
Yeah.
All right, which chef do you idolise the most?
I love Yotam Ottolenghi. He cooks a lot of Middle Eastern food. He's got a few restaurants in London, and his food, he uses a lot of vegetables.
I love vegetables.
I actually just got his new book.
Simple.
Stoked, don't tease.
When Jenna from our other segment, Loose Reads, came in to say it was one of the best books of last year.
Oh, yeah. That one. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And on the spot, I was like, I'll take that. Thank
she
you.
She bought it on the spot.
Took
out a short-term loan.
Brilliant. Short-term loan.
Yeah. So let's kick it off with talking about Sarah's got a question from the other office there. Zucchini or courgette?
I definitely say zucchini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a more exotic sounding word?
It's just what I've been raised on, I guess. So just and that's what I don't know, it just feels natural.
Yeah. Zucchini. What do you say?
I've never liked the word courgette.
I think I mix it up because I'm not sure.
Courgette sounds to me like some sort of like a bedspread or something. I don't know what.
And then there's eggplant or aubergine
I say eggplant.
I think we have to. I mean, why? Yeah, why was it even called eggplant? Really?
Because it's shaped like an egg.
It's not shaped like an egg though, really, is it?
The outside is so smooth, and I don't know.
It's like an egg.
I don't know. Maybe mushy on the inside, kind of a firm skin on the outside. Yeah. I don't know why it was called eggplant.
Aubergine's such an exotic sounding word, though. I mean,
put
some zucchini in aubergine. Yeah, this sounds exciting already. You're going to go.
I think for a long time,
I prefer
when I was
aubergine.
Younger, I was like, is there, like, these things are different? But
they're
not.
No, they're the same.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's a confusing moment when you find that out.
And then coriander or cilantro is another one.
Oh, yeah, that is another
cilantro
one.
Cilantro sounds like some sort of.
That's what they say in the States.
Chemical.
Yeah.
Cilantro.
Right, okay. What other? Because I didn't. I've never heard of cilantro.
Really?
Yeah, it's a real American. That's what they would call it.
Mm.
They don't say coriander over there.
Yeah. Just to jump in here with a telephone call. Good morning.
Good morning.
The
reason why an eggplant is called an eggplant is because the original one looked like an egg. It was smaller and sort of creamy.
Right. So it's that sort of situation, like
I'm just going to interlude there. Would you describe an egg as creamy?
Well, not white. Like, it is pale, light in colour, which has now evolved into that purple big thing. because of crossbreeding and all.
I was
going
to say, yeah, it's like when you actually see what an original strawberry and original pumpkin look like. Quite different, aren't they? Like
or a wolf and a chihuahua.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much. All
you're
best.
Welcome.
But you know, cooking chihuahuas.
We're coming in to talk about seasonal products, which is zucchini and eggplant and stuff. So what do I do with them?
Like the last act of summer.
The last of the summer produce. So eggplant and zucchini are sort of, in their peak right now. There's a lot of them around. I love eggplant. It's polarizing, I think. A lot of people don't like it.
Yeah. So do you have to dry it out? Because it can go quite mushy, right?
So there's a lot of debate out there about whether or not you have to salt it. Mm. I only salt it if I'm going to be frying it, pan frying it, because it helps it to stop absorbing all the oil. Mm. But for anything else, I wouldn't bother salting it. But it's great in so many things. And a lot of things that are great for the colder weather, so like curries, tagines, stews, those kind of things. An eggplant parmigiana, the Italian dish that's layered with cheese and marinara sauce.
Stop it.
Great this time of year.
Isn't there something that if you, what am I thinking? I know, rhubarb, if you cook eggplant wrong, you can... It's not good for you or something?
It's not poisonous, like rhubarb is, but...
But just tastes gross.
No, sorry, the leaves are, or can be.
The leaves on the top of the eggplant can be...
No, top of the rhubarb.
Rhubarb, sorry.
But eggplant is just, can be very bitter if you don't cook it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not poisonous.
And we were off air before talking about corn as well.
I've been talking about corn for years.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just saying, I can't stop talking about corn. So corn, as I said once, it's like butt into sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a really summery vegetable, associated a lot with being outside and the barbecue. But for this time of year when it is getting a little bit colder, you can take the kernels off the outside and you use the cobs to make like a corn stock.
Use the cobs?
Yeah, so remove the kernels and put them aside and then cobs.
Cook it first?
Raw. Remove the kernels, put them aside. Take the cobs and put them in a pot with heaps of water and salt and just let them simmer for like an hour, and that will make like a really intense corn stock.
Wow.
And then you use that as the base for a soup like a corn chowder or a corn risotto.
Hey, everyone calm down. Everyone just spill it.
I just heard everyone shouting with joy from the office.
Yelps of
excitement. I've never thought about that.
Yeah. The other day, Tess and I were discussing our top three soups. Test what her top three soups are, because I can definitely rate mine. And one of them was a sweet corn and mud crab soup from Spargo's in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
And you thought that was, you gave me a funny face when I said that, Tess. Was it the mud crab or all the corn?
You and I weren't on the same page because I was talking homemade soups there.
No, I brought up
you were talking about specific occasions from places you've been. And I was overall, I like
soup
a good specific.
Chicken soup. and then I brought up gazpacho.
Oh, yes.
Now, I think seasonally it's a late part of the year. You've got about 3 days left for gazpacho, haven't you?
It's getting a bit too chilly for gazpacho.
For people who don't know what it is, it's a cold soup, isn't it?
Yes, cold. Made of from tomatoes normally.
Mm. But a little bit of the devil's phallus, cucumber.
How do you feel about gazpacho?
If I was somewhere really hot in the Mediterranean or something, I'd probably eat it, but...
Otherwise?
And only if the tomatoes were super, super ripe.
It was in my top three soups of all time. Gazpacho, my top three soups of all time.
Someone texted in and said, why is eggplant so expensive? I don't feel like you're going to the right
shops. Because it's purple.
Yeah. It shouldn't be that expensive when it's in season.
That's a good point. How much are you paying for something like a good ripe eggplant?
Well, I paid $2 for one yesterday.
$2?
Actually go quite far. They're quite big. And once you dice them up, you end up with quite a big amount of eggplant.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like it's not one of those ones that shrinks that much when you cook it.
No.
You know how some vegetables will just like mushrooms.
Wither
mushrooms
away.
Mushrooms is a great one.
Exactly.
You think you've got a whole bunch and then all of a sudden
A group of mushrooms? Do you call them a bunch?
A pack of mushrooms?
A pack? Flock of mushrooms?
A crowd? No, that's probably not right.
Yeah. I don't
want to
look at it.
A handful, a cup, if we're cooking.
Okay, yeah, true. Yeah. What will you be cooking for yourself tonight, Leisha?
Tonight, I've actually made a chicken soup last night, which is still hanging around.
This is the thing people who cook, they always go, well, I actually just made a little bit of this last night, this delicious thing that I just made, and I wasn't even sure if I was going
to
have it.
Is that a reference to what I come in every morning and say?
No, I'm just saying, but you're not the only person that does that, but the people who just haven't made it. I'm not sure if I'm going to eat it, but I definitely made this beautiful gourmet dish.
Yeah, it's there. It's always
yum.
Waiting for
it's yum.
Yum.
Yeah.
Do you have that with some bread or just as is?
Sourdough, yes.
Yeah. Oh,
sourdough,
so there you go.
Glorious. Well, there you go.
And where are you getting your bread from?
Foodie? I love
Lisha the foodie.
The bread from Fort Greene on K Road and also from Daily Bread. Mm-hmm. But I also make my own sourdough as well.
Do you? So you have it, because this, you have to have a living, breathing.
Yeah, a starter.
Person.
You've got to feed him.
Pretty much person.
Full of yeast. What?
It's what's it called? A fungi. Fungi. And
is it?
Yeah.
Is it really? Sorry, Sarah's just come in and they're saying the collective noun for mushrooms is a troop of mushrooms.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense.
Tea and hut!
Yeah.
Yeah, where's that?
I've lost my train of thought there after that
troop of mushrooms stomp through.
Small comment, but yeah.
Okay. Okay, Lisha, before we go, can you maybe give us a few pointers? Maybe I've just arrived in Auckland. I've got a little bit of money to spend, but not a whole bunch, and I want to go somewhere special.
I think such a great Auckland restaurant is Jamaisey Street in St. Kevin's Arcade, just because it has that view out to the Sky Tower. Mm. And if you go there at sundown, and actually at the moment between 5:30 and 6, they're doing their Jeep menu, which is for only $45. So you can order a whole bunch of mezze dishes and watch the sun go down Sky Tower.
You organise it so that another friend who's just arrived in Auckland, perhaps they could go up and have dinner in the Sky Tower and you could
wave.
Flash mirrors or something to each other. You know, you need to. You did that many places in the world. Hey, thank you, Lisha. Thanks for coming on to the show, and we'll see you next week.
Next Thursday, yeah.
Oh, look, that's just a stone throw away. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Lisha Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for a bit more restaurant music there. Just need to settle the bill now, thanks.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.